right, fantastic. If you got a Bible, turn to Daniel chapter 6, which is where we're going to be today. We have been, and as we like to in the summer, we've been in this series on Daniel. And so, and it's been an amazing look. Now, here's what's going to happen today. Today is chapter 6, and Daniel is broken up into two parts, the book of Daniel. You have the first six chapters, of which we'll finish today, that have our more biographical in nature, even though there's a story within the story, which we'll talk about later. And then you have the second piece that will begin next time that I'm with you, that will be prophetic in nature, end times looking. What is this going to look like? And if you noticed, and we shared a little bit of that in the winter, in January, right after Christmas, for a couple of months, we looked at some end times things. We referred to Daniel a lot, but I was not able to cover a whole lot of Daniel. So I told you, hey, in the summer we'll do that. And so that's what begins next, and that's what we'll finish out our summer. So it's going to be a pretty neat look. You're going to be amazed at this picture of Daniel. But the great part about some of the things that God showed him is knowing about the life in which Daniel lived. And it's interesting because we've just been following this along. This is the sixth week. This is the sixth chapter. And yet you're going to see, I mean, you're going to think that I picked this message out for today because of the things that have transpired this past week. And it just all came together. In fact, this message was written and done before any of the things this week. But I want you to hear this. I want you to understand it. We'll make some thoughts and comments too. But I just wanted to speak for obviously what the scriptures here say in Daniel's life and then what he was going through. Today is a story that you perhaps know. If you were ever in church or Sunday school or vacation Bible school as a child, okay, you heard this story. Okay, the picture of this story was on the wall. All right, it just was. I mean, you've got this. But here's the one thing. Remember, this is interesting. This lion's den situation and all that. Right. Remember this thought is that the one thing that always got in my mind was some of those pictures, but it always pictured Daniel, you know, a young man probably in his early 20s, you know, in this thrown into this den of lions. But you have to remember that Daniel at this point in chapter 6 is at least in his upper 80s. Many believe in around 90 is how old he is when this happens. So we're not talking about a young guy here. Talk about a guy that's heading toward the end of his life, and he has to make a stand toward the end of his life. You know, you'd think, get to that point, it's time to retire, you know, and whatever. But this is interesting that you put all this together. So if you've been with us, this will really be an interesting end to it. If you haven't, then you can go back and pick some of the rest of them up. But they're amazing how they group together. And eventually we will be referring back to these because of the story written within the story when we look at the more of the prophetic part. So anyway, let's jump right in today. And I'm going to talk about, if you want to take down some notes, we're going to talk about the new position of Daniel, or Daniel's new position. And that's where we kick off in chapter 6. Now, last week we left off, you know, the handwriting on the wall and you've been, you know, numbered, you know, basically your days have been numbered. You've been weighed on the balances you've been found wanting. That was the king of Babylon. Babylon was the first world empire. And then as we talked about last week, which I don't have enough time to share today, this picture, but Babylon was defeated and the Medes and the Persians took over. So you're changing. Administrations, leadership, you're changing. Everything changes. And so Daniel makes this transition, but he makes the transition pretty well. And you see that in chapter 6. And again, I just want to kind of set the stage for you with this particular story of where Daniel is right now. So let's take a look at the new position of Daniel. Verse 1, it pleased Darius. In fact, you're going to find out Darius is kind of a curious guy. Many believe this is just another name for Cyrus. Some believe perhaps he's a general, although he's called a king here. Again, there's a lot of understanding because you see at the very end of this chapter, it almost looks like that maybe they might be one and the same. Again, we just don't know. But here's the picture that doesn't take away from what's being shared. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom. Now, 120 satraps, what does that mean? It means he divided up, it was a pretty large kingdom, but he divided them up into 120 pieces. Be like governors of our states. In fact, the Medes and the Persians, okay, I want you to know the Babylonians was purely a monarchy. King was in charge. But the Medes and the Persians had a little bit different, I mean, it's fascinating to look at with the way everything was ruled, and you're going to find out in a minute that while the king was the top authority, he had checks and balances. It's an interesting thing. In fact, it was getting more towards the way the Roman Republic before the emperors came about in Rome with the Roman Senate and other things. It's an interesting thing. But you have these 120, right? And then continue to read on down. And they had three high officials. Some of your translations would say presidents. Some would call them whatever the title you want to call them. But basically there were three high officials of whom Daniel was one, to who these satraps should give account so that the king wouldn't suffer loss. So what does that mean? What does that suffer loss mean? That means basically taxes and tribute. And so you divided these 120 up and you divided them up into three. And you put one guy over 40 of these governors, satraps, right? So one over here, one over here. And then these three guys reported directly to the king. So there was an administrative system. Now, Daniel had to have had a pretty impressive resume. Perhaps they found out about him and what he'd done with the Babylonians. I don't know. But you got Daniel in charge of one of these whole, a third, if you will, of all the provinces. So Daniel, again, has proven himself faithful, proven himself usable, proven himself trustworthy. In fact, so much so, it's what causes the problems here. Let's take a look at it. All right, it says, give account, verse 3. Then the Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and the satraps because an excellent spirit was found in him. And the king, notice this, the king planned. He planned just to put Daniel in charge of it all. So he was going to just put another level there because he saw what the Bible calls here an excellent spirit. It means very talented, but it also means trustworthy. Is that you could trust him. I tell you what, it's huge when people in leadership positions have people around them that they can trust. It's huge. And whenever you can find somebody you can trust, you promote them. Because it doesn't happen often. Especially in government. Well, I didn't mean that as a slap to us, but in this government, all right? But take it how you want to. All right, good. But when you find somebody you can trust, I'm here to tell you, you just promote them. And you give them more and more and more and more because they're trustworthy. Obviously, that Daniel had risen up among the Babylonians, and so Darius gave him a shot at this, and he kept rising up, and it kept being that this guy, I can trust him. I can trust him when I give him something. And that is exactly what happens here. But remember this, is just because you're being promoted, that doesn't mean everybody else around you is happy, and which becomes the problem, okay? So just this new position. See, again, I love for you to feel it. I love for you when you take a look at one of these stories and you transport yourself back into this era and time. I like you to feel, again, the human nature is the same. And I like you to feel it as it's happening. So you see this stage set and you see that the plan of the king is to make Daniel in charge of it. So you got a lot of these other guys that they've got to discredit Daniel, right? You got to discredit him. And here's their plan. Okay, take a look. No, number two is what I'm going to call the plot. You got Daniel's position. Now you have the plot against Daniel. Let's see what they did. Take a look, if you will, in verse 4. It says there, then the high officials and the satraps sought to find ground of complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, that they should, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful. And there was no error or fault was found in him. Okay, you got to admit, okay, you take a look at this, and this guy's got a whole lot of authority, and they set out, and you know, they go digging up everything on his past, they go digging up on all of what he's doing, you know, are there any shady deals, are there any, you know, things that he put in his pocket, and, I mean, and they couldn't, I mean, that's a testimony to Daniel. I mean, they're setting out to find something bad about him. And I tell you what, whenever you set out to dig up trash about someone, it puts you in a bad place. Even if you find something that's true. I want you to hear that. Whenever your desire is to set out to dig up trash on someone, it will bite you in the end, I promise. All right, it's just amazing how it works. But another message for another time. We'll talk about that later. But that's what they tried to do. They couldn't find anything. That just shows you the kind of guy Daniel is. And then they settled on this, okay? Well, we can't find anything in his work way to do. But let's take a look. Take a look at this. This is interesting. All right? Verse 5 again. All right? And these men said, we shall not find any ground or complaint against Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. Here's what we can do. We can catch him in his belief system. And then we can turn everybody or something. So let's look at what he believes. Because he believes it strongly. He was, you're going to find out in a minute, he was known for his belief in the true God. You got to remember that the Persians, the Medes and the Persians had their whole set of gods. Just like the Babylonians did. And again, it's they had new names, their gods they worshiped, but they were representatives of the same thing. So you have a prosperity god over here, you just call him a different prosperity god over here. You got a head god over here, but obviously the head god of the Medes and the Persians is stronger than the head god. I mean, it got into that kind of stuff. But Daniel was different. And he didn't worship a multitude of gods. He worshiped God, the true God of the Scriptures. And so they all knew it. So therefore they began to look into what he believed to find accusation that they could bring against him. Okay? And that, you know, that's, again, that's what happens today. I'm here to tell you, anybody that is in sort of some sort of public office like this is what they do. They try to find out something and then they smear them over what they believe. And it just is an incredible thing today. As the country in which we lived has moved further and further away from who God is and has pulled in other things to replace it. Therefore, to find accusation, to accuse, and to marginalize becomes the order of the day. Let me tell you something, guys. If you're a believer here today, don't participate in that. Don't fire back and try to marginalize the other. Okay? The Scripture teaches us that those are not our weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not to fight like the world fights. Why? Because you're going to lose that fight. The great part about it is that we put our faith and trust in Him. It's an amazing thing to think about. And that, therefore, it's up to Him as you look. So what did they do? They went searching. They went searching to find areas to accuse Him of. And there was one thing they found that they thought they could get him on in what he believed. And he made a habit of praying. And so it's like, okay, we got him. We got him. And here was the plot. Let's read the plot that they came up with. It's interesting. Okay, continue to read. All right. And take a look now in verse 7. Verse 6, and these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. And all the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects, the satraps, counselors, Governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce and an injunction that whoever makes petition to any other god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, Darius, King Darius, signed the document and the injunction. Okay, what's being taught about here? Well, obviously, it says all the high officials, that is, the others that were high and then along with satraps, others, they got together, had this plot, and they said, oh, you know, they came in. You can see it happening. Again, it's a different day. It's a different era. But it's the same thing. They go in to the king and say, oh, king, you're wonderful, you know. And it was very, very a usual thing for these guys who had conquered great things, who were ruling great things, to think themselves as godlike anyway. And so they say, hey, we want to, just for 30 days to honor you, great king, we want to make a law that nobody can pray to anything or anybody or any god but you. Okay? We just want to make that just to honor you, king. And, of course, yeah, that's a great idea, guys. You know, I didn't think y'all liked me so much. And I want you to know that they passed this law. Listen to this. This is interesting. They passed this entire law for one person. Right? This entire law was passed to marginalize and discredit this one person. I just think that's interesting. Again, if you just break it down, take a look at it, because it has a huge impact at the end, and you'll see it. And I've got to keep going through it because I want to get the whole story to you, and then I want to tie how this applies to all of us today at the very end. So the plot against him. And, you know, and I'm here to tell you, the great part about this is what the Scripture teaches us about being his, is that understand that there are going to be people that will be out to marginalize you, out to say these particular things. But remember this, that some trust in chariots, right? But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's where our trust is going to be when these things happen. And because there are going to be accusations to be made, and there'll be, obviously, when you take a look at this, Daniel wasn't going to stop being who he was. This is interesting. Take a look at this. All right, so the plot against Daniel. Now that you understand it, let's take a look at the prayer of Daniel. What happened to Daniel was this is how they knew to get him, because they started following him around. They just didn't come up with this. Okay, this is implied. They were following him around, and they were finding out, how can we get this guy? How can we get this guy? How can we get this guy? And so they noticed that he prayed. He spent time in prayer at an open window. And he went there every day, three times a day. That's how they figured this out. They just didn't come up with it on their own. They followed him around and watched him for a long time. They saw that he does this every time. He's also known to be a follower of his God at that point. And so they're all, that's how they came up with this. Now, take a look at what he does. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, so he knew this was coming. He understood when it came what it meant. So I think the Scripture tells us here that Daniel knows about this. Okay? When he knew that it had been signed, he went to his house, and then what did he do? He went up. This is classic. All right? He went to his house where he had windows in the upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. In other words, nothing changed. All right? You can pass any law you want to, king, but it doesn't have any difference on me. And as we see parallels begin, okay, if you have ears to hear, if you're not catching on to them, we'll talk about them at the end. Okay? You can pass whatever law you want to pass. Okay? This is who I am. And so he went up. And you know, you think it even, here, this is classic. Think about this. Hey, Daniel, all you have to do is close the window. Right? All you have to do is close the window and they can't see you praying. But Daniel knew what he was doing. And he says, you know, I'll serve faithfully, I'll do whatever. But you're not going to make me believe something just because you pass a law. So there's this great, again, I want you to know that this message was written before this week happened. It's amazing how it all comes together if you've been following along with us. But again, we'll make some more thoughts about it and do it in a minute. And so he basically went up just like he normally did. And he could have hidden who he was. I'm here to tell you, believers down through the ages have been hiding who they are to stay out of trouble for years. Hiding who you are so you stay out of trouble. Hiding who you are so you'll stay out of trouble. But I'll tell you what, Daniel kind of just shows us, you know, of course he's 90 probably. He says, you know, if this is how I'm going to go out, you know, as cat food, this is how I'm going to go out. You know, I just think he just thinks, okay, that's it. That's the way I'm going, okay? But I'm not going to change who I am. And that doesn't mean he was a rebel. That doesn't mean he was obnoxious. That doesn't mean he was hate-filled. That just simply means, okay, that you're not going to keep me. You're not going to keep me from this, okay? I'll be faithful. I'll serve. I'll do what you want me to do. But not if it goes against the God's commands in my life, personally. It's interesting. Let's continue to read. All right. So, he got on his knees, prayed 3 times a day, gave thanks to God. I'd love to talk more about that, but let's move on. Then, these men came by agreement, and they found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. So, you know, you got all those little Persians across the alley, all right? And they've got their binoculars. He's doing it. Go get him now. Right? They didn't have binoculars then, I know that. But that has to be the picture, does it not? Right? That has to be the picture. The spying on him, you know, the slithering around. Okay? So let's continue to read. In verse 12. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? King answered and said, the thing stands fast, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. I think it's interesting. That's why I know that their governing system was different than the Babylonians. Because if it was the Babylonians, the king could just change his mind and say, yeah, but that doesn't count for Daniel. I like him. I want to keep him. But the king, if you notice here, was locked into and had to do it. So there's more than just him being in charge. So he has accountability. So that's what makes this an interesting thought if you want to look at it further on your own. All right, continue to read. Then they answered and said to the king, Daniel is the one of the exiles from Judah who pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but he makes petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed. And he set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. In other words, I think it was at that point where the king knew that he'd been hoodwinked. I think it was at that point where he knew that this was just a trap to set Daniel, and that none of the people who'd come to him were sincere, which will come back and get him at the end. And so I think that becomes this great picture, right, of what's being said here. And obviously, 15, then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and the Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. So even the king couldn't change it. See, I find that interesting. So it's kind of a progression in governance and law of the time that the king didn't have absolute authority, that it did have kind of a senate or a house kind of a representation there like the Romans did. I don't know. It's pretty interesting when you think about it. All right, so we have the plot of Daniel. We have the prayer of Daniel. Let's take a look at the protection of Daniel. This is the punishment of Daniel. Take a look down now in verse 16. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and he was cast into the den of lions. And the king declared to Daniel, May your God, whom you serve, continually deliver you. Do not miss that. So I want you to know that Daniel's lifestyle was one that everybody knew who he was, even the king. Notice what the king says. Can you put it back up there? Right. There you go. All right. May your God. So Darius knows, okay, he's not talking about the gods he believes in. But the one thing he knows Daniel's different, and he knows that Daniel serves his God. And he knows he serves him continually. In other words, it is something that's obvious in Daniel's life who he is. And that's a huge thing to remember. It's a great thing for us to learn and to understand. Who are you? Who are you? When the people around you, how are you known? It's a big deal when you think about it. You don't go out and try to share who you are. People already know who you are. Because people see around you who you are when nobody's looking. It's an incredible thing. May your God, whom you serve continually, in other words, I hope that God of yours is real. If not, you're cat food, right? If not, you're done. But it's interesting here how Darius is hoping. He's hoping that he'll survive. So they throw him into this den. They put a big rock over it. They seal it. Right? They seal it with the king's signet. That is to make sure that this is it happened according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. That's kind of how it looked. Okay? And take a look at verse 17. Stone laid on its mouth the den. King sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. And then the king went to his palace, and he spent the night fasting. I don't believe that this was a spiritual or a religious fast. I think he just couldn't eat. Again, I think it's this picture of this bothered him so bad that he couldn't eat. Take a look at the next. And no diversions were brought into him. That is, you know, kings of that stature were used to, you know, people playing music or coming in with all kinds of, you know, entertainment for the king kind of thing. And then it said that sleep fled from him. In other words, he couldn't sleep. I don't know, I find this interesting. That Daniel could have had that much impact on a man like this. Because if you've been a student of history of this particular era, around a few hundred years of this era, most kings of this time wouldn't have cared if a guy got thrown to who cares, we'll get another guy. Because most kings of this era were so self-absorbed. And yet this bothered him. This bothered him. In fact, he couldn't sleep. He couldn't eat. He didn't want any, don't bring any of this diversion stuff in. And he waited for daylight. Which brings us to number 5. Okay? The protection of Daniel. Let's take a look at it. Look at verse 19. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. In other words, he's just waiting for the sun to come up. You know, perched over his window sill, looking looking toward the east, waiting for the sun just to come up so that the law would be taken, and he could head down there and find out what happened. This is classic. All right, take a look. And as he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. I mean, it had bothered him all night long. And he says this, Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. I find that curious too. Servant of the living God, has your God, again he's saying, he's not my God, is your God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Gotta like it. All right? A 90-year-old man yells back, oh, king, live forever! You know, I just think that's classic. You know, there's no, yeah, yes. It's just this typical address of a time. You know, king live forever is just typical of how you address something. And so he just yells it back, you know, and then here's what he says. This is classic. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I have found blameless before him and also before you, O king, and I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, they were brought And they were thrown into the den of lions. And you know, I want you to understand why you may think it cruel and unfair, but it was laws of those times, a lot of laws around those times, that your family paid the same price that you for your crime. So if you notice here, their wives and their children were thrown in too. It was just the cruelty of the time. It was the cruelty, literally, of the Babylonians and of the Medes and the Persians. But this is what happened to them, and you can take a look at it. All right? It says there, they were cast into the den of lions, their children, their wives, and before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones to pieces. And then listen to kind of how it happened. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples. This is similar to Nebuchadnezzar's letter, but a little bit different. Look at this. All peoples, nations, and languages that dwell on the earth, peace be multiplied to you. Again, that greeting is very similar. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. And he who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. So here's what happened. It's similar to the things to learn, but not altogether just alike. It's similar to the things to learn that we talked about when the three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were thrown into the fiery furnace. It has its similarities. There are some differences, but it has its similarities. And you have to remember this picture of what this looks like. You know, it's real easy to hide who you are and just not have to go through this. But going through this made a huge impact on the king and those around him. And it garnered amazing respect for God to be able to use Daniel at future times. Again, we talked about that a few weeks ago. It's pretty interesting. Therefore, I'm not obnoxious, but I'm not hiding either. This is who I am. This is who I am. And you know, when you take a look at this, too, the impact is going to be felt, I think, from Daniel, because you're going to find out in later, you know, we're not going to be able to share it, but if you want to read the rest of it, is that the Medes and the Persians became favorable to the Jews. They even allowed them to go back to their homeland. Read Ezra. They allowed them to rebuild the temple, Zerubbabel, and all those. They allowed them to even go back and rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. That's as you keep reading through, when you put Nehemiah, so Ezra, then Nehemiah. So when you put all that together, I think a lot of it had to do with this. The favorability that God gave them, even though it looked really bad. Okay? Even though it looked really bad. Okay? Number six, and this is where we'll finish the story, and then we'll hit some things to learn. Number six is just the prosperity of Daniel. As you take a look at Daniel here, it just says that he prospers. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius, the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. So again, a lot of people have equated Darius with Cyrus. Some people believe that he was even maybe more of a minor monarch because you had Medes and Persians. Again, there's a lot of speculation here, but it doesn't really affect, I don't think it doesn't affect the story. So when you look at these things, obviously then Daniel began to prosper. God used Daniel, and a lot of different neat things began to happen. Now as we skip over, let's take a look at some things to learn. I always like to do this. If you're new with us today, or if you've just been a couple weeks, I always like to do something. I just don't want this to be just a lesson of history or a lesson of something that happened way back when. What does it mean to us? How does it apply into our lives personally? Well, today is pretty easy if you've been listening. If you haven't been listening, then go back to sleep, you're done. But if you've been listening up to this point, you've probably already made some of the applications personally. But I'd like to drive them home a little bit further. Number one thing to learn, okay? God has called us to be His despite the political pressure, okay? And again, I wrote that, believe it or not, this message has been done. But it was written for today, you think, because I want you to know it's true. I mean, there's going to be a lot of political pressure put on you to conform with all of the things that have happened this past week. Wherever you go, whatever you do, it's going to happen. And you got a decision to make. Okay, am I going to close the window? Right? And hide who I am? Or am I going to keep being who I am, despite what might happen? It's an interesting thing to think about. You know, it's interesting through this week, and you do understand the whole concept that just because something is legal does not make it right. And I know you do. But remember this. And I put out a little thing. I didn't realize that it would seem to go everywhere. But I put out a little thing, and that just kind of, it was just a statement of faith that a lot of pastors signed. And I just wanted people to know of what this picture is. What does the scripture teach us? I'm not talking about what they vote on. I'm not talking about what political persuasions are. I'm not talking about what popular opinion is. What does the scriptures teach? Because it's the foundation. And I've come to the conclusion. I haven't come to the conclusion. I came to the conclusion a long time ago of what the scriptures teach is where I'm going to go, because it's from the scriptures that I'll learn about who Jesus is. It's from the scriptures that I'll learn about forgiveness of sins. It's from the scriptures that I understand about God. I just don't come up with it in my own brain. Therefore, it becomes foundational for everything that I stand on, everything that I believe, including the definition of marriage. Okay? And that is where I get my definition for marriage and even what marriage is. And so I want you to hear and to understand that. And I want you to hear this too, that again, as long as I'm here, we will never ever perform a service for a homosexual couple. We're just not going to do it. All right? Now, I want you to hear my heart there. That's not an arrogant statement, and that's not a hateful statement. It's a statement that's founded, and I want you to understand why. It's a statement that when I am pushed into a decision to whether I need to obey the governmental laws or I need to obey God's laws, is that not what Daniel was pushed into? Then, as, by the way, Martin Luther King's daughter, I don't know if you read her stuff, she said, there's a more Supreme Court than that Supreme Court that has said something different. God bless her, right? I mean, you can read her stuff. It was pretty amazing. Coming from her, too, was really amazing. But when I'm faced with a decision, okay, I do know this, that the Scriptures teach us, as believers, if you're a believer here today, the Scriptures teach us that we are to be underneath the governing authorities, okay, under which we're placed, unless that authority tells you to do something that goes against his commands. And Daniel is the huge example, and his buddies with the fiery furnace. I love their statement. Remember their statement? They're saying, hey, King, you don't have to give us more time to think about it. This is my paraphrase. He says, we're here to tell you, King, is that you can do whatever you want to do. But no, we're not going to go bow down to that. We're just not going to do it. And our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But if he doesn't, be it known unto you, King, we will not bow down to that. And the king was furious, threw him into the furnace, and yet God used him. But I want you to hear that piece. Because the day is coming, because you have to understand. And I think you do. For those of you that have been around a long time and you've seen a lot of history go by, this is not a surprise. Our country has been heading this way for a long time as it does everything it can do to get God out of everything. And when you take God and who he is out of everything, then who knows what's next? Because then you're not really accountable to anybody. You can make up truth as you want to make it up, which is what's happening today. But I do want you to hear this, is that I don't have to share this. You can go look at the little statement that I put out. But I do want to share with you this. This church here is one of the most, and I say this sincerely, and I've been in churches, but it is the most welcoming, friendly church I've ever been in my life. I mean, by far, you love everybody that walks through the door, and it's unbelievable. I get that all the time, especially at dinner with the pastor. You know, Jeff, I can't tell you how many times somebody will come to me and say, "Hey, Pastor Jeff, you know, we were in service and somebody saw we were visitors or saw us, whatever, and they came up and said, hey, you want to go to lunch with us afterwards?" And again, it just is a different kind of a place. So you're going to be falsely accused as a believer. We're going to be falsely accused, but it doesn't. That just has to be. There's no hate inside of me whatsoever. And I don't think there is in you either. I haven't seen it. We don't hate anybody. But I tell you what, we do stand on what the truth says. It's a hard thing at the time. Truth and love. Standing for the truth but being loving. But it's what God's called you to be. Okay? It's what He's called, who Jesus was, and it's who He's called us to be. Okay? But I will not deny the truth. I just will not do it. And yet, I'm still going to love you for it. So it becomes this great, great picture. So as we close this thought, because I got a couple other things I want to throw at you real quick. But I think you understand those things. The foundation of what the Scripture says, back at creation, where God created the male and female, and that a marriage, by its very nature, is male and female from the way that they're designed physically. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, you're caught on to that, all right? Hope you didn't have too many mental images, all right? But physically and everything, and therefore the two constitute a marriage that creates a family that children can come to it. It not only makes sense naturally, but it's how God said He intended it. And so, guys, again, there's no hate here. It's just this thought of this is the truth. And I love what Martin Luther said so many years ago when he was standing on what the Scripture says and everybody was against him. He basically says, here's where I stand. I can do no other. Why? Because to do something else would be to deny what the Scriptures teach. And I won't do it. I won't do it. All right, number two. All right, can you go to number two? You got number three up there. You're getting ahead of me. All right, number two. Being falsely accused or persecuted for being His is a possibility. Again, that's here in the story of Daniel. I want you to know, they were jealous of him for what he did. Therefore, they were going to lie and cheat. A lot of people would say, oh, God, why are you letting this happen to me? I've been faithful to you and you're letting this happen. Listen, don't cry and whine. Just step back and watch, see what God's going to do. Therefore, He knows, does He not? He knows and understands. But I do want you to understand, you can read the book of Hebrews. I don't have time. I am out of time. But Hebrews chapter 11 is the great faith chapter, where it mentions Daniel's thought here. Let's just look at just a little bit of it so you'll see it, because I'd love for you to read it later. And what more shall I say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, Daniel, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises. Here we go. Stopped the mouths of lions. Okay, that's a reference to Daniel. Look at the next one. Quenched the power of fire. That's his buddies, right? And he goes on to talk about all these guys who did these great things. All right? Verse 35, women received back their dead by resurrection, period. But then the tone changes. Well, some were tortured. Okay, no, I like the other list better. All right? Where's the other list? All right? But again, here's the picture. Others, you know, some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking, flogging, chains, imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They lived destitute, and you can read all the rest of it. So remember, there's this picture, what I called the but if not, with the other boys, is that, Lord, I'm going to be with you whatever you may want to do. Number three. Okay? God has promised to never leave you or forsake you. You know, one of the great calmness that comes over my life, that's not the best way to say it. One of the things that really took the pressure off for me is when I came to accept, and this has happened lots of years ago before I came here, but when I began to accept the fact that this is not my church, right? This is not my church. Hey, it's His church. And therefore, I can't protect it if I tried. What kind of feeble thing can I do to protect His church? I'm going to be faithful, right? When it comes down to it, He's going to have to work, or it's not going to be protected. So I'm not worried. I'm not worried about what the future holds. You know, I really am not, but I do know there's some things coming. I think we all know those things. And yet, whatever happens, right, we're going to trust who He is. This is who we are. That's who He's called us to be. We're His. We're His. Therefore, this is not my church. I am the church. I'm part of the church, but it is His. All right? But He's also promised to never leave you or forsake you. Jesus made this incredible, incredible statement. This is where I'll close. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. So Jesus came and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So, that's that great picture, right? You know, I don't care what the Supreme Court does, right? It doesn't matter. I mean, eventually all authority comes to the one that owns it all, right? And in His thing. But take a look at this. All authority, Jesus said. Jesus said, all authority has been given heaven and earth. And here's His command to all of us. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. And notice this. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Those are all great things to talk about at another time. But look at this piece. And lo, behold, I am with you always. Well, Jeff, how do you know? People tell me, you know, He's not just talking to the disciples. Okay, take a look at the rest of the verse. Even till the end of the age. That includes you. So He's promised. He's promised to be with you through whatever comes. When you think of Daniel, and here's a 90-year-old guy who thinks, okay, I'm going to go out with a blaze of glory here, you know, thrown to the lions. But when it comes down to it, God had a different plan for him. But God never left him, even though everybody, it seemed, had turned on him. It's an interesting, when you take a look at Daniel's story, it's interesting. Take a look. All right, so we finish today. We finish the story. We're going to come back to all these things. Next time, I'll be out next week, but next when I get back with you, we're going to hit the prophecy part, and you're going to be amazed at what you see, how all of these things line up with the tribulation and what things that are coming and how things that are happening around today, not just this past week, but around today in general. It's going to be interesting. I'm really looking forward to it. All right? All right? There's never been a time in your life you put your faith and trust in Christ. Want to know what that is about? There'll be some pastors here afterwards that would love to talk with you. All right, God bless you guys. Have a great day. Let's all stand. All right, let's all stand. All right, we'll give God the praise. Absolutely. Tim, don't forget the little budget things, okay? Tim, you don't have to remember now. Mm-hmm. Just to turn them in the boxes as you leave. But God bless you guys. And Godspeed, as He calls us to be and doing. And that remember that you are His. You are His. All right, Tim, why don't you close the door?